it's us.
Yeah.
Now it's dark in here again.
Can you see us?
What the fuck?
Is it this thing?
Maybe it is.
Yeah, it's just
an angle front. See, I don't know what's going on in here.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
If you can hear any noise in the background, it's just the damn lawn crew again.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know why they're here today. It's Tuesday.
They do what they want to do. It doesn't have anything to do with us.
I thought their day was Wednesday.
I don't know what they do.
It is Tuesday today, right?
Yeah,
it's
Tuesday. All right, so I think on the last show, what was the last show? It was about using shelf stable drive.
No, we did food. The last one was curry.
Curry, okay, yeah. That's good too. All right, this is today's gonna be about pasta. All right, pasta and noodles, and everybody can just go and buy some pasta and buy some noodles and just take it off the shelf and cook up some kind of pasta dish. But if you do that, you're kind of missing out. I mean, I do it. I do it a lot. But the difference between store-bought, pre-made pasta and a homemade pasta, handmade pasta, is like the same difference between a store-bought corn tortilla shell and a handmade corn tortilla shell. There's a big difference. And I didn't believe it until I tried it myself. Homemade pasta, homemade noodles are far superior to the dried store-bought noodles. And they're cheap. They're pretty cheap. And they can be made by hand under bad conditions. Like, let's say you're in a damn survival situation. Really, all you need is flour and water. Maybe a little bit of salt. To get a bare minimum noodle. That's what a Chinese noodle is. Chinese noodle is basically all-purpose flour, maybe with a little bit of bread flour thrown in it to make it a little bit more chewier. And then it's kind of flattened out with a roller, cut into strips, and then you toss some more flour over it, and then fry it. Let it sit there for a little bit, and then fry it. And that's all that is, all right? Now, a European noodle is a little bit different. It's all-purpose flour, maybe some bread flour if you have that. I always like to use high-gluten bread flour if you can get it. It's just flour with eggs, a tablespoon. And the ratio is like this. For every 2 cups of flour, it's 3 eggs. And then 1 tablespoon of water and one tablespoon of oil, like olive oil, and then one teaspoon of salt. And you fold it together and make those noodles. So you can make it in an emergency and you can actually, you know, this is the ultimate poor people food. The ultimate poor people food. All you got is flour, maybe a chicken out back that's laying eggs. Okay. You can make a noodle like that. All right.
And yet noodles and pasta are some of the most yummy things ever.
Yeah.
Very filling.
Very filling. Very high in carbohydrate. They're very low in nutrition though.
Yeah.
So you have to eat something else with it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's really where the whole sauce thing came in. Although Italian-American pasta dishes are very heavy in sauce compared to a real authentic Italian pasta dish. Theirs just might have some olive oil, some fresh basil on it, and maybe some salted fish or some octopus or some squid. Just, you know, a lot of times it's seafood.
You know, honestly, I kind of like it just like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I like pasta with pretty much anything on it.
Right.
But if it just has olive oil and basil, I'll totally eat it just like that.
Yeah. Now, to making pasta a little easier, you want to get something like this. This is a pasta maker. And normally it'd have a handle right here. And you just take a bowl of pasta. You take a wad of pasta. They come with instructions. And then you hand crank it. And it'll come out through the bottom. And you can set how thick you want the noodles by turning this knob. And like I said, they come with instructions when you buy one to give you kind of a general overview. This one also came with like a C clamp so you can tighten it to the edge of a table. I really found you don't need to though. What you need that for is if you're going to attach electric motor to it. Because you can attach electric motor to these and just drop pasta through the top and it'll sit there and it'll squirt it out the bottom and the thickness that you need.
You said squirt.
Squirt it out, yeah. It'll press it out. And some of the little attachments, some of them were little attachments that'll actually slice it on its way out. I haven't used this one in a while when it's fully rigged up. I found personally that spending the extra money for the electric one, the electric motor, is not real. It's not really worth it, I don't think. Hand cranking it in normal home amounts is fine. That's what most people are going to be doing anyway.
And honestly, I've seen the hand crank ones for $40, $50. Yeah. It's not a high-end one, but it'll kind of like do the job.
And they'll come with different little attachments and sometimes little selections. So it'll cut it out like fettuccine, or it'll cut it out like linguine, or angel hair pasta. It'll cut it to that, what do you call it? That width. Or it doesn't cut it at all, and then you can have it like lasagna. Okay. Now, if you're making noodles, be it European noodles or Chinese noodles, not only is it bowls of pasta and lasagna, it's also you can do things like pastel, which is Brazilian Chinese-inspired fritters, I guess you could say. It's just two flat pieces of wonton noodles with some cheese and some meat in the middle, pressed together and deep fried real quick.
Yeah, it's kind of like a deep fried meat and cheese pie.
Yeah, it's real nice. They're real light and airy. You can do that, or you can make a straight wonton wrapper and then just roll up your egg roll mix in the middle of it, roll it up and deep fry it. Just like that. So it's going to be kind of a short show today, and then we'll just talk freely about this and maybe I'll answer some questions. I just wanted to bring it to light that noodles are very easy to make, very easy to make, and they're delicious. They're better homemade than they are store-bought. As long as you do the prep work and pre-make them so you have some when it comes time to actually do the preparation, it's very easy to work with. But just like everything else, you got to plan ahead, you know. Like yesterday, I was soaking chickpeas because I was going to make hummus. I got some hummus made today. It's beautiful. Garlic hummus.
I'm going to have some of that after the show.
So if you're a home cook or a professional cook or whatever, you have good habits, you're always doing prep work. You're preparing for something you're going to make a couple days from now. You're always planning ahead. So you just got to think that way. And one of the things that you might want to prep ahead would be to make pasta. Because once you got pasta made, especially if it's Italian style pasta, you might want to hang it, because like in a closet or inside a refrigerator, maybe you can hang it off of a little rack, kind of let it dry out a little bit. Or you can cook it directly, but I like to dry it out a little bit.
Yeah, we used to hang it in the pantry.
Yeah, hang it in the pantry a little bit and then let it dry out, and then you can fold it and put it in a Ziploc bag and put it in the refrigerator, and it'll keep for days and days. It won't keep for too long. It will start to spoil.
Well, yeah, anything fresh, like anything is not going to last that long because you don't put all the preservatives in it.
Right.
Which, like I said, preservatives are kind of a double-edged sword. Right. I wanted to say, you know what's really interesting is that as easy as pasta is to make, I mean, I know it's a pain in the ass and you got to plan ahead and shit like that, and some people don't want to do that. I get that. And it's really, really easy and cheap to get the dried pasta.
Yeah.
Do you notice when I was first watching some of the Gordon Ramsay shows, like Hell's Kitchen and stuff, I was actually surprised that they used just dried pasta, like for their lobster or linguine or whatever the hell, like whatever the dish is. And I was like, you would think that he's such a stickler for everything else and doesn't like anything, you know, just like pre-made ingredients. You'd think that he would at least like have them make pasta ahead. Yeah.
For a restaurant, when you're dealing with large volume, sitting around making pasta, that's a bitch. You need a lot of room for that.
That's true.
And you'd need a crew of three guys working, all day, all week to supply.
Yeah, because you'd need a lot.
So that's probably why they're doing that.
Yeah.
But for a home, it's a lot easier. The time demands and the space demands aren't that great. It's not you're going to feed 200 people, you know. But it's very easy to make. It's just like dealing with any other kind of dough. You need a clean work surface, like an island or a counter, something that's not porous but flat. And you just make sure it's clean and dry, real dry. Throw 2 cups of flour in there, make an indentation in the center of it, crack 3 eggs and throw that in the middle. throw a little tablespoon of olive oil in there, maybe about a teaspoon of salt, and then just start mixing it with your fingers in the center of that volcano and absorb all that flour. And then just start rolling it out, folding it in on itself. Put some oil on your hands if it starts sticking. Put some oil on the surface if it starts sticking. And then you just make it into a ball, and you can throw it into your little pasta maker, and it'll squeeze it out as noodles. If you don't have that, you can roll it out by hand with a just like a regular rolling pin, and then take a kitchen knife and cut it and fold it over and cut it again some more. Now, to keep it from sticking onto each other, you might want to flour it down as like a lubricant so it doesn't stick to itself. But you could cut it with a kitchen knife too, and then just make a hand cut, and you can make it any shape you want. If you want to make it squares, you can make them squares and then drop ravioli filling in each one and fold it up and make a ravioli or a cannelloni or something, you know. Or
you can make bow ties.
Make whatever you want with it.
Okay. And you want to get fancy.
Yeah, but I recommend starting off with just regular flat noodles, like for a lasagna. That'd be the easiest, okay? And then start working with making fettuccine or some kind of linguine, which is, you know, like a spaghetti pasta. You work with the simple shit first, and then once you get it down, you can move on to the more complicated stuff. Like, look at a video and see how you fold a tortellini. You know, there's a way you fold it. You fold it in on itself, and it's like a little wrapped up little.
It looks like a little butt pillow, like you sit on if you have hemorrhoids. It kind of like that.
Kind of like a little. Kind of look like a wedding ring. Kind of looks like a wedding ring. Like. Or you can make raviolis, which that's two sheets, putting one on top of the other, and just with the filling.
Have we ever made tortellini?
Hit it with a fork on the outside. What's that?
Have we ever made tortellini? Did we make
tortellini? Not here. I've made it in restaurant, though.
Before. Yeah. I don't think we ever made it here. We've made lasagna noodles. We've made fettuccine noodles. We've made raviolis.
Yeah. Now, when you're dealing with Italian pasta, you can also flavor it with tomato paste. There's a way you can take tomato paste and mix it in with a little bit of water. Or you can fold that into, or blended spinach to make it green. There's a bunch of different ways. You can just look up the recipes. But start simple, and then work from there. And it's a good skill to have. It's a good survival home skill. If you're ever caught between a rock and a hard place, and all you have is flour and water, you can make noodles.
Well, and honestly, I mean, pasta, it's so versatile. But yeah. I think if you're going to have a dish that's just, it's really pasta forward, like that's kind of the star of it, then it kind of needs to be homemade. Yeah. I think the fact that in so many restaurants, I guess, you know, yes, there's the cost effective thing of using the dried out pasta, but also because they're putting so much stuff into it that the pasta is not really the star of the show, I guess. It's just kind of like the canvas that they're putting sauces and various proteins and stuff on. But if you're going to just make something simple, that just has, like you said, just like olive oil or basil or whatever on it, then I think it's way better like to have the homemade one. I will say that I'm not sure about other countries, but I'm sure you can get it in other countries too, but probably a different brand. There is, in the refrigerated section of the grocery store, there's, what the fuck is the name of that brand? Buitoni or something like that. But it comes in like a little packet. It's a little bit expensive, but it's kind of like handmade pasta. Yeah. You know, and it's in the refrigerated section. You have to use it like in a day or two because it'll go bad. But that would approximate like a homemade. If you want homemade pasta, but you don't want to make it, that's pretty good. It's pretty close.
Sandra says, Tom always prepares for Armageddon. Said, yeah. Food is apocalyptic. Food came from an apocalypse. It was people in shacks out in the country trying to survive on their own. That was where food came from.
Well, if you think about it, everybody got to eat every day. You know what I mean? Or, you know,
real primitive food is you walking around with a damn bag, catching shit, trying to make a fire and cooking it.
Being like, maybe I could eat that. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That's real apocalypse food right there. So cooking, catching food, preparing food, growing food are all essential human skills. If you can't do that, then you just fucking suck. You're urban or you're suburban, and if shit ever goes south, fucking electricity goes away and fucking humanity goes away, it's fucking Mad Max, you're gonna die.
Sorry. You'd be like sitting around eating leaves. Yeah, you're going to fucking die.
Me, I'm going to be out there with fucking rifles and running chop lines. You know, if I see them, I don't like that. They're bad. I'm going to eat those people. You know. It's just excess meat. It's not bush meat.
You heard it here first. Yeah. It's going to become them a cannibal.
Eat human. Eat. That's what they did back then. There's all kinds of signs of cannibalism from during primitive ages. You just didn't let enemy bodies waste away. You shared that.
Well, like I said, I kind of feel like in a situation like that, yeah, it's just kind of like, why would you?
That's all that food.
I mean, that's 200 pounds of meat. Why would you throw that out?
You're not going to throw that away.
I mean, shit, you could even like use the bones and make soup and shit like that. Yeah. Listen to what we're saying with cannibal tips. That'll be the next food show.
Yeah.
How to prepare human meat.
All that Cro-Magnon, all those Cro-Magnon, Neanderthal, all those fucking, all those campfires from Homo erectus period that they dug up, all those humanoid bones that were found had all been cooked. The bones had been cooked. Mm-hmm. So they're telling you what they're doing.
That's long pig.
Tool marks on them where they were cutting meat off of them, you know, after they were cooked. So, you know, you didn't waste anything. Only rich people waste shit. And, post-apocalyptic, you're not rich. You just eat. It's bum skills.
Bum skills.
They're like bums. Bums have no problem. They're like cockroaches. If society were to collapse, you'd still see bums. They'd be doing fine. Oh, yeah.
Well, they don't.
Getting kind of cold. You know, but they'd probably, it depends. They're used to rough living. Mosquitoes that eat them up. You know, it depends on how bummy they are. If they require
depends on how bummy they are.
Yeah. If their whole life is about finding Listerine and drinking Listerine and shit like that, then no, they're not gonna make.
Their whole life revolves around.
Yeah.
Let's drink some. Which, fucking,
it's y'all getting me on this shit.
Sterno. It's not though.
Y'all getting me on these.
No, it's not.
Yes.
You started that. Okay. That's what's like really funny. It's like, I think you think that like other people are making you go on this topic.
They make me do this.
No, they don't. You do it all by yourself. Okay. If you go back and like look at the history of the thing, I think you will find that it's normally you going up on these tangents. Not always, but
I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it.
No, Sandra's German and she eats peanut butter. I got her eating peanut butter. That's a peanut butter eating German. putting slices of the apple in the peanut butter. Did you make those peanut butter cookies with the damn Nutella in them yet?
Peanut butter fudge.
Hell yeah.
Shit, yeah.
All right.
Man.
And then we got Sleeves and Cheese. Says Tom needs to make a homemade buttermilk biscuit and gravy show. Oh, well, I just made that just a couple days back.
Yes, you did. I forgot about that.
I made that.
Yeah, a few days ago. We didn't make it for breakfast though, I don't think. We made it for dinner, I thought.
I make what's called country gravy, or also known as pepper gravy. Which is a white gravy with American sausage, crumbled up sausage in it, with black peppercorns in it.
It's pork sausage, yeah.
Pork sausage and peppercorns.
Yeah.
You pour that over biscuits. But I use Bisquick drop biscuits. You can make buttermilk too, but buttermilk's for rich people, bro. Buttermilk's for rich people. You have to make, I'll make it out of Nido.
Yeah.
Just the cheapest milk you can get, you know. Just, you're trying to make it fast. And if you make it well and simple, then and you do it right, you don't need real fancy in components. But buttermilk is good. It's real good. It's just the chances of you having buttermilk on hand when you want that dish, pretty slim. You'd have to plan for it.
I mean, we hardly ever buy buttermilk.
Yeah, hardly ever buy it.
Well, you can't now. You can make butter if you don't have buttermilk. Can't you just do? Isn't it like X amount of milk and so much? Like what the fuck you put in it?
You could probably put
vinegar or something. I don't remember.
I wouldn't fuck with it.
But well, the thing is, we don't usually have milk in the house either. We have powdered milk.
Yeah.
But when it's like shit that we're drinking, like right here, like this iced coffee right here, that's almond milk.
No, that's milk.
Oh, is it?
I had some.
Oh, okay,
milk. That's milk.
I thought I didn't even think we had.
No, a lot of times it is almond milk. I like almond milk's actually a little more healthier for you than cow milk, but sometimes there are certain things that you're gonna want to do. You want cow milk for that. I mean, I love cow milk. I love it. It's just that it's real heavy in calories. It's high in calories.
It is very fattening.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of stop drinking it because I grew up drinking a lot of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not good for your cholesterol.
Please and Cheese says, if I was gay, I'd love Tom for a husband.
Yeah, I saw that earlier.
Yeah, because I cook, bitch. I'd get your ass fat. No, it's a constant war against fat.
It is, yeah. Well, because everything you make is so good.
Yeah, I want a lot of it.
And we just can't, like...
Yeah.
I mean, and you have a tendency to make a lot of something.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Because we go to Sam's and it's like every couple months we spend $300 or $400 and like have all this food and we have to eat it.
Yeah.
You know, and then it'll be something like yesterday or the day before, like he made this huge pot of like curry and it was really, really good. And I had like a little bowl and then I had a little bowl later. But then, like, the next day, he's like, well, I'm sick of curry already, so he makes, like, another thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then sometimes at the end of the week, we have, like, leftovers, like, all this other stuff, and we have to eat it all.
They're making all kinds of pasta jokes. I'm trying to catch up with what everybody's talking about.
I know. I saw all the pasta jokes that everybody was, like, groaning about. Honestly, if... That's the thing. Like, we make a lot of, you know, we make a lot of Indian dishes, we make a lot of Asian dishes and stuff, and it's, like, a lot of times... Because you prefer rice, usually, with those kind of dishes. I prefer noodles.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the stuff, like Thai stuff you make or anything like that, I mean, if it's a choice between noodles and rice, I'm going to take noodles pretty much every time.
Yeah.
And I really have to stop myself from eating pasta, like, every fucking day.
Because... I'm laughing at it here. Sandra says, I'm in my late 40s, and I still haven't lost electricity in a single time in my whole life.
Wow. That's
She's
amazing.
She's in Germany, man. She's in Germany.
We've lost it lots of times.
We do it all the time.
Well, because it's Florida and we have thunderstorms all the time. And hurricanes. Like I said, hurricanes. I've been without power for 8-9 days after a hurricane.
Yep. When Hurricane Katrina hit in Louisiana, man, there were certain areas of the New Orleans area out of power for 2 months.
Yeah, I remember it being out for a really
tens
long
of thousands
time.
And tens of thousands of people died. It was a disaster. Flooding got a lot of people. So you're in an area where the geography and the weather is predictable. Here it's predictable. It's going to fuck you. You can predict it every time. The weather is going to
fuck
much.
You. Yeah, pretty much. Once summer comes,
you can bet on it.
Between 3 and 5 p.m. every day, it's going to be a real bad thunderstorm.
Yeah.
Like pretty much every single day.
Yeah.
And your power is maybe going to go out.
Yeah, and... I can't imagine never losing, you know, if you've never lost power, you don't know what real life is really like. Real life fucking sucks. Fucking hot. Really hot. You can't do anything. You can't do anything that requires electricity. And you do a lot of things that need electricity. You don't realize it.
Well, yeah. And it's so, like, we're so used to having it that it's just kind of like when you don't have it, you're just kind of like,
you're like, whoa.
No, how many times like that, the one hurricane that we went through together, because I think when my power was out for 8 or 9 days that time, that was when I was like still living in Daytona. But ours went out for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And every single time I would get up and go in the pitch dark ass bathroom and I would always click the fucking thing. I'm like, even though I know the fucking power's off.
Now,
you go, it's, oh yeah.
Yeah, now a couple years back, we did the right thing and we bought a really good generator. Got a Honda generator in there. What's it called? A Black Max? I think it's called a Black Max.
Yeah, I think it's what it's called.
Generator. And it can run 2 refrigerators and at least 3 wall-mounted, window-mounted air conditioners. Because you can't survive in Florida without air conditioning. Your house will just... mildew, it'll rot.
Well, yeah, we talked about that before. And when our power was out for a couple days before like that, we had
so
to, well, we had stocked up because, you know, we know the storm's coming. So we had like a bunch of ice.
Yeah.
And we had, you know, made a bunch of ice and we put ice in the bathtub.
Yeah.
And we had to like change out, like when we were trying to sleep.
Yeah.
We had to like change out. You go lay in the ice bathtub for a little while. Then
hot.
I'll lay in the ice bathtub for a little while.
Had to get in the bathtub to cool off. So that was before we had the generator, the new generator. Had the old generator before. The old generator wasn't strong enough to run everything.
Yeah, you can only run.
Yeah.
I mean, even now, it's like, you know, there's cables all over the house. We can run. We have a couple of window AC units, which aren't ideal, but if you're just staying in one room, it's fine. And the 2 fridges, because you don't want all your fucking food to go bad.
They got a thing that I can buy for about $1,500 and a special license. They'll come and they'll hook up an outlet on the outside of the house that allow me to plug the generator into the house and it'll run the central heating and air.
Yeah, we were thinking about that.
Yeah,
it's kind of expensive though.
Yeah, it's expensive. But it's got to be inspected and everything because they don't want people burning houses.
And the thing about where we live, I mean, where we live now, though, it's like they're usually pretty good about getting the power back on in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, if you lived in like a much more built up area or, you know, something like that, yeah. I don't feel like. Sandra was asking if our cables are above or below the ground. It depends where you are.
Power cables?
Yeah.
They're below.
Yeah.
Right.
They are. Right. It's just, you know, we had a couple transformers blow.
Yeah.
You know, like yep. I think last time.
Yeah, lightning strikes right behind the house over and over again.
All the time. We were outside one time and lightning hit the fence on the house, like on the other side of ours.
Yeah, that was something else.
It was just like right there. And I was just like, well.
Haven't had an infantry background and been on fucking live fire artillery ranges that, you know, 105 millimeter howitzer and 155 millimeter long range artillery. And some of that stuff we were pretty close to, like, you know, 500 meters away when that 155 had hit. It was louder than a 155 millimeter artillery shell. Boom! It was so bright that it lit up the inside of the damn house.
Yeah.
And it was like a white flash inside the house. You felt the shockwave, you felt the whole house just go boom.
Yeah.
Didn't blast any windows out, but it was just right there.
It felt like it could have.
Yeah.
I mean, it was actually the one time that last bad hurricane we had a couple years back, I think me and you and Pookie, we went and slept in the walk-in closet.
Yeah.
Because that one only has like two tiny little high-up windows. I was like, I don't even want to be anywhere near the fucking sliding glass door in case that glass blows out. Yeah. Cause you know, we didn't like some people like a lot, you know, newer places and stuff. A lot of them have hurricane shutters, like, but you have to go out there and put them on, you know, which is a pain in the ass. So if some people put tape over the windows, I don't think that does much.
It's underneath the ground in certain areas, but in other areas it's running across power poles outside the road where they can get it.
Yeah.
And there's transformers there and those transformers will get hit by lightning, just explode.
Yeah. We've seen it happen several times.
But once it gets into the into the housing complex, it's all underground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, you know, but it's just bad. It's bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember us, like I said, sleeping in the fucking walk-in closet.
Yeah. But, you know, just
on the floor.
If you're in the
shut the door.
If you're in the United States and you're in the South, you just have to be ready for the fall of civilization at any moment. It's going to be a hurricane. Or a tornado,
or flooding,
or
which just, is bad enough. Yeah. I mean, shit, man.
Right.
And it happens. I mean, particularly in Florida, you know, hurricane season is June 1st to November 30th.
Right.
With September and October being the worst.
And it rains every day. It's like the Korean monsoon season. It's very similar.
And in the summer, it pretty much rains every afternoon. And we're talking like bad thunderstorms. Yep. Like, they don't usually last all that long.
Nope, about an hour.
But sometimes it's so heavy that it's just like blackout. Like, if you're on the road, you can't see anything.
And it's just like heat, rain, and then steam.
Yeah.
And then more heat, and then rain, and then steam over and over and over again every day.
Yeah, pretty much every day.
For the dead of the summer. It's not like that the rest of the year. It's just like we have like a monsoon season, basically. And during that time, hurricanes and tornadoes.
Yeah, and flooding.
And flooding.
Shit, man, there's
and alligators.
Well, yeah.
Because they're running from one pond to the next.
Especially, they must get so excited when it floods, because they're like, woo, it's like now there's now I don't have to go across the ground. I can just swim over here.
Just driving down the street and you see a turtle 4 feet, 5 feet diameter. Walk. Turtle. They go, what are you doing there, flat? Big, fat, smooth-looking turtles. Big angry looking face that fucking bite your hand off at the wrist. Big old snapping turtles. Gigantic. Looked like Gamera.
Yeah, like.
Looked like Gamera. Yeah.
Like little mini Gameras.
Yeah.
Oh, and I saw that otter the other day on the path.
Yeah.
That's a big ass otter.
Yep. And then you're just walking down the middle of your thing and you have 4 or 5 fucking cranes. They're bigger than you. Some of them are 5 feet tall. Walk right up to you and start begging for food. Follow you home and then knock on your windows and your doors.
Florida's
trying to get you to come out and feed them. They're called sandhill cranes.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Don't feed them because they'll never go away.
Yeah, you're not back every day. They really tell you.
I made the mistake of feeding them, and they were coming back
those bitches
once or twice a week for like about a month.
And they told all their friends.
They told all their friends. More of them were showing up. And if you don't go out back to feed them, then they'll walk up to your sliding glass door and just go.
Hey, you, we know you're in there.
And you're like, get out of here. And you spray them with water, and they'll back up about 20 feet. And then when you turn your back on them, they run right back up to them. They just, they don't take no for an answer. Especially if they got young with them. They're like, feed this baby.
Yeah.
Feed this baby.
It's like, come on, you useless motherfucker.
Yeah.
You fed us before.
Yeah.
Oracle said, was it the kind of big-ass otter from the T. Kingfisher book? Yes, very similar. Yep. It was actually quite large. Like, it was almost like dog size. And but you, yeah, you remember that picture?
And then the bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If some of you guys saw, I posted it on... did I post it on Facebook or maybe Instagram? But remember that one time, like, it was four sandhill cranes and they came up our driveway.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was morning, and I was like walking by, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I looked out the glass of the front door, and there was four of them just like sitting there and going like that, yeah, like looking at the fuck. They're standing on the driveway. And I was like, what the fuck?
Or you just come home late at night and there's a fucking bear bigger than a man sitting there in your driveway.
Yeah.
Sitting on his ass. Right. And then he sees, he goes, oh shit, and he rolls over.
Oh shit.
Rolls over, walks off.
I can't stay here no more.
Size of Sasquatch. We were driving one time, and a bear crossed the street right in front of me. And this is just up the street here.
And it was during the day. It wasn't even nighttime.
Walked into the neighbor's fucking up there garage. And looked at the refrigerator. And I went, hey, bear. And that bear turned around and said, get away from that fridge. And that bear put its head down, put its tail between its legs, and ran.
Because some of them can open fridges.
Yeah, open fridge. They can open a door.
They've figured it out.
Can open up a car door.
Yeah, I've seen them open car doors.
They'll open up windows. They'll open up doors to houses and go into the refrigerator and tear up the inside of your house. They're
looking for picnic baskets.
Yep. They got a shit on video. They know how to open windows.
They're not dumb.
Nope.
They know where the food's at.
They got an intelligence similar to a chimpanzee.
Yeah.
Chimpanzee, dog. About in between.
Well, that's why we had to, they gave us, like, the county gave us all of these new garbage cans that had this, like, complicated fucking trigger system on it so that the bear can't open it because that's what bears would do. They would come and go,
and
they would look in there and be like, hey, what you got in here? And, like, tip them all over the street. So, you know. So did you have anything else you wanted to say about any food?
Sandra says that everything in Australia is trying to kill you, but the American South is kind of like that too. Yeah, we don't have as much poisonous stuff. We do have poisonous stuff.
Yeah, we have some like venomous
water moccasins,
snakes,
and snakes and
coral snakes, rattlesnakes.
Yeah, but they're not as deadly as some of that Australian stuff. And we don't have that. We have black widow spiders.
And brown recluse spiders.
Brown recluse.
You know, when my brother was a kid, he got bit on the knee by a brown recluse.
Yeah.
He didn't die, but he got blood poisoning. His knee swelled up like really big. And then like you could see the poison like going up his thigh. And then he had to go to the hospital and he had to walk with a cane for a little while.
Most of the poisonous stuff we have will fuck you up, but not kill you though.
Yeah.
Even a rattlesnake will really fuck you up, but it probably wouldn't kill you. But you might lose a limb without treatment. A lot of people don't realize that. They think you just get bit by the rattlesnake. Oh, you're going to be all right.
Oh, and it's fine.
It's going to be fine. No, it eats a big fucking hole.
Yeah.
And that hole might expose bone, which means that they'd have to eventually amputate. You get all this. It's bad.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, my brother got bit by a brown recluse spider, which doesn't sound like a big deal. But if he hadn't gone to the doctor, because he got blood poisoning.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you don't go to the doctor and, like, get something done about it, then, yeah, you would probably lose a leg.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a big deal, but, you know.
You're right.
You got to get treated for that kind of shit.
But there's some stuff in Australia and in other countries that bites you and you're dead within about an hour.
Yeah, it's like you can't even get to the hospital. Yeah. They're just like, oh, well, I'm fucked.
Yeah, so we don't really have anything like that. We have alligators that fucking grab you and take you underneath the water and drown you.
And then eat you later.
Yeah.
Save you for a later.
But they mostly go after kids.
Yeah.
Mostly little children.
that's nice. Well, yeah, it's like I said, I think, did we talk about it on the Dark Side of Disney show, like that alligator that ate that little boy?
In Disney.
At Disney, yeah. It was one of the Disney resorts, actually.
Yeah, they closed all that shit down after that.
Well, I think all they did now is they put signs up, being like, hey, there's alligators in here, might not want to, like, hang out.
Well, I thought that happened at that island place.
No,
that's closed now.
Yeah, no, this was at one of the resorts. This was more recently.
Yeah, there was an island, a Disney Island resort that's closed. I thought it was that one.
No, I don't think
it's wasn't that one. It's been closed for about 10 years.
I don't think it's that one.
Okay.
Because I think that happened, like, more recently than that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Louis said it's all fun and games till someone loses a leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you have anything else you would like to add?
No.
No?
I'm good. It was just a basic overview and a reminder of what's possible with fresh pasta. You can make noodles out of near nothing.
Now it's kind of making me want them.
Hard, in a survival situation, it's real hard to make flour, though, and to get your hands on it. There might be something that could act like flour. Maybe potato. Maybe dried potato. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Can you make, like, dried...
I don't know.
I don't know. That might be weird. Potato noodles?
I don't know.
Now I have to look that up.
I'd have to look into it.
Like little, especially those little flaked ones, like you get like those instant potatoes. I wonder if you can make like kind of noodles.
It wouldn't work. It's not good.
Well, it would be kind of, it would be kind of like what's,
fall apart.
What are those fucking, Italian gnocchi? That's what I'm thinking of. It'd be a little bit like that.
We might be able to pull off something like that, but you wouldn't be able to pull off a noodle per se.
Yeah.
You know, like a gnocchi.
Yeah. Sanders said, as long as they don't eat pookie, they better not eat pookie. I don't want any alligators eating pookie. I don't like to think about anything bad happening to pookie.
There's only two little ponds that she can go to. I check them pretty regularly because she goes down there with the flashlight. There's no alligators in them.
Well, the one that she likes to look at is too small, I think, for an alligator.
Yeah, it's only about 7 inches. It's 7 inches deep in the middle.
Now, there's a big one that's over, like, a few houses down. And that has a sign that says there's alligators in it, although I've never seen one in there.
Turtles in it.
There's turtles in there. Yeah. I've seen turtles and ducks and shit like that, but I don't think I haven't seen an alligator in there. Nothing can happen to Pookie. Exactly. Yeah. Nothing better happen to Pookie.
Don't scare her.
I know. It's like, it's something I think about like all the time. Like I said, it's funny ever since we got, I was always kind of bothered by like, you know, animals getting fucked up in movies. But ever since we got Pookie, it's like, I can hardly even watch it like that anymore. Like I said, I don't give a shit what happens to people in movies, but leave the kitties alone.
Yeah, but it's funny, you know, Germany never losing power. That's amazing. No, it's just common here. Like I said, civilization can collapse at any moment with a heavy storm, and it might collapse anyway. There are places in the United States where there's no law enforcement. You know, even if you had a cell phone, it'd be hours before a cop ever showed up there. And where I lived in Mississippi, police response time might be about 35, 40 minutes.
They're like, we'll get there when we get there.
And the town only had one cop, one for the day and one for the night. And, you know, everybody has guns because you just have to be your own guard. But they're not violent areas. They're peaceful. People, everybody knows one another. And, you know, they're pretty tight knit communities. But they're kind of spaced out. There's no, the population density is fucking real sparse.
Well, yeah, everyone's not like all up in each other's shit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Fucking, you see somebody, hey, what's up? Hey, you know, because you saw somebody, you know.
Sandra says, do you have those snap turtles?
Yeah.
We have those.
Yeah. They get big. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
They'll get big.
Yeah, they have like it's like a beak almost. It's like this pointy.
Yeah, they can take a hand off right at the wrist.
And the smaller ones can take a finger off easily. Yeah. Because that's what their little beak is for like crunching.
See, that's why I talked about it in some of the other shows about running trot lines. Like, people try to fish in a survival situation. It's too much of a waste of time. You just get a nylon rope and you string it across a pond. And hanging from the rope are little fishing lines with hooks. You can bait them, or you don't even have to bait them. They'll bite just the hook. Really, you know. Bait helps, but I've seen them just bite hooks.
Fish are just like, what's this?
Yeah, and they'll just bite it.
God damn it. I'm so dumb.
Well, that's a easy way because you just leave that thing up there and every couple times a day you go down there and just pull them up out of the water and see if there's any fish on them. All right. The constant fish trap. And, you know, if you're getting too many fish, you can let them go. You know, because there's too many. I can't eat all these because you would save them for later. You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's the easiest way. The second easiest way of catching a fish in the South is something called noodling. You put a glove on, and you can walk in certain places until you find a hole. And you go, that's a catfish hole. And you dive down in there and freaking reach in there. And if he bites your hand, you pull him out. And they can get big, real big. Look up Hannah Barron, noodling. And she's this little Southern girl who can noodle like that. Although she does it mostly for video, they let it go and it goes back in the hole. They know where they are. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it would be kind of like a boring video. Yeah. She's just wandering around looking for 5 hours.
Well, some of those catfish might be 15 years old. They get bigger and bigger and bigger every year. So they know where the old ones are. And they go, look at it. Look at him. You know?
Yeah, have you seen some of the ones that Jeremy Wade used to catch on River Monsters? Holy fucking shit. Those things could swallow your whole head.
Yeah. The problem with noodling is, though, is that there's always a chance when you put your hand in that hole that it's not going to be a catfish, that it might be a snapping turtle.
So it's like a crapshoot.
Yeah. And that always worried me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, how much do I need this hand, really?
You're waiting to get bit, and then you go like, I hope this isn't going to be a turtle. That feels like a catfish. And you pull him out like that.
I'll use my left hand just in case.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But you got a big, heavy canvas or leather glove on.
Well, yeah, you would hope so.
Yeah, you don't want to just go barehanded in case that is a snapping turtle.
Yeah, you never know. When you just, like, sticking your hand in a random hole in the woods.
Yeah, you just got to tense up, so give him some resistance when he's biting, so you're, you know, just in case it's not that sharp beak, you know. Some guys, it's happened to some guys, they've been all right, but you better have that damn glove on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Armed ASMR says trapping is underrated for survival. Everyone wants to hunt, but trapping is better.
Yeah, it is, but I don't like trapping during peacetime. It's inhumane. Fucking can't stand it. It's unsporting.
I would rather just do shit with the fishing.
Yeah, now if you're going to trap, you can trap them in cages, but not snares or fucking leg traps that snap the leg and they chew their leg off over the night. Good. I hate that shit. That's a lot of fur trappers that do that. If you're going to trap them in a cage, so if you don't want that animal, you can let it go.
Yeah.
Because you never know what you're going to get, and you're going to catch shit like bobcat, and I don't believe in killing bobcat. Bobcats is a predator. They're not really meant to be eaten. For every one prey animal, for every 10 prey animals, you're lucky to have one predator. You know, they don't reproduce very quickly, and they're easy to hunt out. So, you know, let cats go. Anything like fox or coyote, you let it go. There's not that many of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to kill something that you're not going to eat.
They don't taste good anyway. Yeah. So that's why I don't really like any kind of trapping. It's not selective. Now, like I said, if it's a cage, you can let him out.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't like any of the fucking snap traps and shit and fucking snares.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, and you don't have to trap. And if you're even halfway decent and knowledgeable, you're never hungry anyway. You're just not, because there's a lot of food out there. It's just that people don't know how to get it, and it's the easiest is trout lining, fishing. Well,
that's totally.
That's where all the fucking. Yeah, it doesn't require a lot of effort. Once the line,
you don't need any equipment, really. No, you don't need any.
No special equipment, nothing. No. Or same thing with crabbing, and you know, you just make a wire basket, and wire some bait in the bottom of the basket, and throw it in the water, and crabs will go in there, and you know,
like,
a couple times a day, you check it and see if there's any crabs in there, pull them out. You know, it's just easy.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do that when I was a kid.
Yep.
We had those little ones that were like,
like
a pyramid.
You just make a basket out of fucking chicken wire.
Yep.
If it can get through the chicken wire, you don't want it. It's too small.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bunch of easy ways to do it. It doesn't require any effort, really. It's just knowing. And a lot of people don't know or scared. Scared to get in the water. A lot of times you want to get in the water. Yeah, that's real redneck shit. You're going to get in the water, set traps out, and then I'll be back for this later, you know.
Yeah, and then you just kind of just go hang out.
Yeah. One man could easily feed 4 or 5 people if he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap it up for today. Remember to stop by tomorrow, because tomorrow's Wednesday, right? Okay, so tomorrow is our 5 p.m. party stream. Woohoo! Yeah. So everybody needs to drop by for that one. But yeah, thanks for dropping by, everybody, today. Have a good rest of your day. And we will see you guys tomorrow. Bye.